The Apostle Paul warned the faithful in the book of Galatians, to which he ministered, that there were those who would come in the name of the Lord and preach to them another, a different, a compromised, a humanized gospel. That message would be different from that of Paul and the apostles. Paul went on to say, don't pay any attention to them. In fact, think of them as accursed. That's a pretty strong statement, don't you think? Ignore them, said Paul. Shun them, for they care not for the gospel or the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Ignore them. But it seems as though those who would preach another gospel are here today and in droves. The fundamentals, the basics, are watered down, compromised more than ever. Secularism creeps in, or in many cases actually takes over. There are denominations, cults, divisions, and splits, theological fights and differences everywhere, it seems. It is surely that way with evangelicals, for it is difficult in so many ways to have a common creed, the so-called fundamentals seemingly changing on a somewhat regular basis. And even that is a departure from what Paul calls the gospel, not another one. What Dr. David Jeremiah calls Bible strong, the Word of God over the Word of man. What Billy and Franklin Graham call the preaching of Christ crucified and resurrected without change or man-made modification. But there are men and women masquerading as preachers of the gospel, more concerned with power, perhaps, and certainly more concerned with money, some even without education, theologically uneducated, and without a full understanding of both Old and New Testaments. Bible weak instead of Bible strong. The authentic gospel preached by Paul and, of course, the Christ himself is hard to hear in this secular day and age. Even as compromise exists in Protestant circles and another gospel grows, so that happens even in the Catholic Church. The battle wages there between liberal and conservative as it does everywhere. It seems it becomes more difficult for the age-old values, principles, and traditions of the Catholic Church to be upheld and authenticated. The leader, the powerful leader of the Catholic Church, Pope Francis, brings to the world a more liberal papacy. The media has dubbed Francis the celebrity pope, for his persona has endeared him to them in light of the fact that Francis has softened the positions of former popes, such as John Paul and Pope Benedict, popes who expanded the power and authority of the papacy, even as they championed orthodoxy. All in the Catholic Church respected that authority, assuming future popes would follow in that mold. But then came Pope Francis, considerably more liberal, more famous, and popular, and his public utterances, whether ex cathedra or not, began to be subject to criticism. The extent of papal authority became a real issue for conservative Catholics, especially the cardinals who wanted no part of another gospel. The church, they said, should stay strong in tradition and theology. Many in the Catholic Church hierarchy reacted aggressively when Pope Francis agreed to let China's communist government control the selection of the country's Catholic bishops. That decision by Francis thoroughly annoyed retired Bishop of Hong Kong, Joseph Zen, who promptly criticized the Pope, saying, I would make a cartoon showing the Pope kneeling and offering the keys of the kingdom of heaven and saying, now please recognize me as Pope. Boy, that was a strong statement from Bishop Zen, at least a former bishop. And he went on to say, Bishop Zen did, the following. The advisors of the Pope are giving him advice to renounce his authority, and that didn't make Zen very happy. Any pope has no greater prerogative with more consequences than his moral discretion to choose the world's bishops, so said Zen. When chosen, Catholic catechism calls the exercise of that power the full, supreme, and universal power over the whole church on the part of the pope. That power and that papal prerogative cannot and should not be delegated to anyone other than the pope himself. That indeed is an interesting dilemma for the church, and even this pope, for the issue is to what extent papal power remains uncompromised and doesn't begin to divert itself into another gospel. If it is compromised, there runs the risk of the beginning of another gospel. It sure does, to the detriment of fundamental change in the Catholic Church. Why? Pope Francis has taken a position of leniency on divorce. That led U.S. Cardinal Raymond Burke, a critic of Pope Francis' leniency regarding divorce, to warn that the Pope could be subject to a formal correction from the cardinals of the Church if the Pope does not in fact make clear that his statements on divorce are faithful to Orthodox Catholic teaching. I didn't know that power existed. As of now, it seems they are not. In fact, says Cardinal Burke, there is authority that, in Burke's words, if the Pope exercises his power in a sinful manner, the Pope must, as a duty, be disobeyed. Wow. Boy, that's strong stuff, isn't it? Sinful manner. And then came the controversy regarding the statement allegedly made by Pope Francis with respect to hell. It is alleged that Pope Francis said the following: hell does not exist. Hell does not exist. Any such position is totally antithetical to the teachings and beliefs of the Catholic Church. Totally. Allegedly, when a reporter asked Pope Francis where bad souls end up, Pope Francis reportedly said that those who repent can be forgiven, but those who don't repent simply disappear. Simply disappear. No hell. And then said Francis to reporter Eugenio Scalfari, a well-known Italian journalist and the founder of Italy's La Repubblica newspaper, hell does not exist. Souls, bad ones, just disappear. And the reporter indicates the Pope went further, saying, the disappearance of sinful souls exists. Boy, wow, some pretty heavy stuff, don't you think? The story spread like wildfire on social media, and the Vatican quickly intervened, stating that the story was the result of the reporter's reconstruction and not a faithful transcription of the words of the Holy Father. But reporter Scalfari strongly defended the accuracy of the statements, and so far, Pope Francis has not explained or recanted. If the moral leader, the supreme leader, the Holy Father of the Catholic Church does not believe in hell, clearly scriptural, clearly Bible strong, there then comes full force another gospel. Another gospel. Heaven for sure, says Pope Francis, but no hell. The Bible says something entirely different. Even the most well-known educational institution of the Catholic Church, Notre Dame, has recently compromised. In the words of Alexandra de Sanctis, Notre Dame becomes a bit less Catholic. Notre Dame becomes a bit less Catholic. De Sanctis indicates that the University of Notre Dame, quote, caved in, end of quote. It has publicly stated that it will partly obey the Obamacare mandate requiring employer health care plans to cover the cost of contraceptives and abortifacient drugs. The university will now provide simple contraceptives, whatever that means, simple contraceptives to students and employees through its insurance program. Boy, talk about a 180. Said Notre Dame's president, Father Jenkins, as justification for the decision, Catholic tradition requires respect for the conscientious decisions of members of our community. So that, if decisions of individuals, not the Church, think it is perfectly acceptable, says Jenkins, for this Catholic institution with its Catholic tradition to distribute and pay for simple contraceptives, that decides the matter. The so-called conscience of the individual over the authority and moral tradition of the Catholic Church. Yet another example of another gospel, a fundamental change in the value system of the Catholic Church, at least at Notre Dame. I'm not good with that, are you? DeSantis goes on to state that in so doing, Notre Dame has, quote, renounced its obligation to shape the moral landscape of the society it inhabits, and more importantly, to form its own community properly, end quote. Good, strong, solid statement. In short, for DeSantis, Notre Dame becomes a bit less Catholic. The Catholic Church, says DeSantis, is never more effective than when it acts as a countercultural force. It offers the modern world a radically different vision of human sexuality from the one most young people are taught. With a decision to provide birth control, Notre Dame has forfeit its chance to stand in moral opposition to a utilitarian sexual culture, says DeSantis. It has chosen to stop speaking to the kind of life that makes people whole. Good, strong statement. That decision is a moral give-up, a fundamental concession, and a compromise to a secular culture enabling yet the principle of another gospel. That is, for Notre Dame, known the world over, a radical departure from Catholic theology. DeSantis reminds us, and presumably Notre Dame, that, like the Church, Notre Dame is most valuable when it defends truths that are difficult to hear. Great statement. So it seems that we, who are Christian, live in a world which aggressively and passionately presents another gospel. In fact, many of them. Compromise is everywhere. Traditional values and morals are attacked at every turn. The leniency and liberality of Pope Francis are praised as necessary changes for the Catholic Church, with hopefully more to come. The truths of the real gospel are harder than ever to hear. But the Catholic Church and Notre Dame and any other real Christian entity are most valuable, in fact, perhaps only valuable, when truths that are difficult to hear are truly and fully defended and reinforced. There is really only one gospel, only one, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the one, as Paul says, we preach, and him crucified and resurrected. All other theology stems from that basic and fundamental fact and should never be compromised, never. For any such change, such compromise is leaven, which can foster the beginning of another gospel. But there's only one way, only one truth, and only one life, only one. There is no place, no place for any other. There should never, ever, ever be another gospel.